Right, here we go. Maybe not. Press wrong fucking button on my stream deck. Right, here we go. Take two.
Oh! God.
Shush you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 643. It's August 8th, 2021, and this is your Overseas Connection podcast. I am Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, one of your fine hosts today, along with it's just a cavalcade of people. We have spinning the decks, missing in action for many, many, many weeks, like two. Mark Wright.
Hello. Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm on my fortnightly return. Thank you very much. The amount of stick I get with his fortnightly viewing now is unbelievable. But there you go.
You know what? Get used to it, pal. Get used to it. Welcome to the party, pal. Also on the show, giggling as you just heard her, Miss Kim Woods.
Howdy, howdy, everyone. From a very hot and humid Missouri right now. I'm telling you what.
So. Hot, humid Missouri. Just
hot,
the
humid
way...
Missouri, yep.
Yeah.
It's
what are we drinking,
so.
Kim?
Michelob Ultra. So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
There we go. Cheers to you. And also cheers to Robin Tate on the podcast. Getting host duties or just sitting back and just chilling days. Also muted.
Well, you know, we did tell him to mute. So.
Hello.
He muted me.
One of those.
Yeah. No. Well,
you're good. No. You're here.
Good. Was it good before?
Nah, that's debatable.
What? You let the boy back on the show to do spin the decks, and it just goes nowhere. Anyway, good evening, everybody. Robin Tate here in Northern Ireland. How are you? And great to be back on the show. And nice to sit back and relax with an adult beverage and some fresh popcorn. And I'm going to sit back and watch the mess unfold.
Exactly. Just watch the mess unfold. I see we have Lord in the podcast chat. We've got Boomer in there as well. So welcome to the podcast, everybody. Thanks.
And Scott Stubby.
And Scott Stubby, yes.
Yes.
Apologies.
Although Lord is snubbing us for Hitman. I hope it's right. The Timothy Oliphant Hitman, otherwise I'll be disappointed.
Or is he talking about the game?
You don't know, do you?
No,
it says watch Hitman, so unless he's doing a Greg and watching a game on YouTube, I don't know.
Fair play.
Well, I mean, yeah. Could
fair
be.
Fair play. Although, let me tell you, that was one of the best movie games I've ever seen. All right. We are a podcast about video games. We love talking about video games. That is primarily what we will do today. However, we are going to start off talking about a whole bunch of stuff that's been happening over the past week. Plural. Also, if you're joining us live, fantastic. You're on Twitch or YouTube. You can check us out on our YouTube and Twitch channels, obviously, but also we will put forward an audio podcast. So for those of you that want to listen to it, Memorex style, you can listen to the audio feed once we put that up. Also, just so you know, we are on at 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and 3 p.m. out in hot, humid Missouri. Central time zone, for those that don't know. We're every weekend on, with the exception of maybe one, possibly two weekends out of the year. So there you go. That's how you find us. Let's talk some birthdays. Craig Turner, he's having a birthday on August 9th, reportedly 41. I don't believe it. I believe it's 82. You just double everything. That's how it all works. Jason Galler, also having a birthday on the 10th of this month, turning a ripe 63. And I say ripe because I rumors are he doesn't bathe or wash. So I think we should play a little happy birthday music. What do you think, Mark?
I suppose so.
Look at that well-tuned, fine-oiled machine. All right, we're gonna get into some story time. Let's kick it off. Now, normally I'm a selfish bastard and I would go first because that's just how I am. But I'm going to save my stories for last. So we'll start from the bottom up, which means we start literally at the bottom, which is with Robin Tate. So.
Okay. All right.
Robin, well, let's talk.
Behind me right now is this beautiful new sofa.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
A couch.
Every night when you sit down, you get fingered.
Yes. So imagine this, if you can't see it, over here, this is the audio podcast. Cup your hands together. Yeah, with your fingers like this here, and your two thumbs bent in. So you've got a lovely cup that you're going to cup some water with a straight back. That is my sofa. I'm sitting in two hands with fingers all the way back. It's very Art Deco. It's actually very old. It's a leather, so lovely leather, fantastic quality. Older, but it just it's suitable for the office. You would never have it in your home, I don't think. Unless you're in LA in a big stilted house, you know.
I was going to say this is very like, but it's very 70s like. In my head, at least.
Yeah. So it's very cool. And I got rid of the little bucket seats, and I don't have the Harley. That's Kim.
Sorry. Yes.
This is my addition.
I tried to mute it, but it caught me. Sorry.
Yeah, so I picked that up this week. I mentioned it before. I was thinking about getting it, and it's perfect for in here. So I'm very, very chuffed with that. Sitting in the little bucket seats were crappy. And it was from a secondhand store. I'd spotted it online, and I got the chaps to deliver it. They were Polish gentlemen. And I had an old aquarium outside and the bucket seats that we were sitting in. So I did a trade-in deal for them. I got them delivered as well. So when they arrived, I went, well, here's the aquarium that's sitting there and here's these bucket seats. So we did another little deal and handed over even less cash. So I got a nice deal with that. That was kind of cool. Anyway, work-wise, I have a lovely contract in front of me here to read over the weekend and to put my signature on it. And
this is making you the official big cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a few amendments that I want them to address. I had asked for more. I want more. And they've agreed to more. So, that's it. I send that signature and here we go. First of September. Go, 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 Robin. God help me.
Nice. I'm not sure what just happened with Kim's camera. It
not either.
Parliament. Yeah,
it did a thing.
I might have bumped it. It happens.
There you go.
Do you guys have you had any experience with t-shirt printing or proper t-shirt press? Not iron-on stuff, but you know the big press thing. I've had an inkling to buy one.
Why? You just want to be able to make your own t-shirts with your own little slogans, don't you?
Yes. And to help identify the children, sort of that sort of thing.
Well, Robin, that should be a tattoo for the record. Yeah.
Across the forehead.
You know, a number on the inside of the arm. I'm sure it's never been done before.
No, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't. There's ones out there for like £100. And then there's ones out there for thousands of quid. And I don't think I need ones that are £1,000. But I'm wondering if anybody has bought one of the cheaper ones at £100 or so, 150 quid, 200 quid tops. Have they had any experience with those? And if you have, let me know, please, at Bongo the Scene. That would be nice. Is it worth it or is it just a piece of scrap that I'd be better off buying a better quality one?
Yeah, it's going to be just using iron.
It's not a business. It's not a business, but I just fancy doing it properly. And, and there's ones you can get that do mugs as well. You know, like it's like a 6-in-1, baseball caps, t-shirts, sweaters, mugs, that sort
of
thing.
It seems like you're getting into business, Rob, but it does not seem like right? This is just a small thing.
It's a few pieces,
isn't it? T-shirts and mugs.
I might have some fun with it. Anybody, if anybody had any experience with that. Otherwise than that, busy week. I'm taking this week off as best I can. Right. I don't think I'm going to be complete. I have booked out Glenn. It goes away tomorrow morning for 5 days.
Nice.
I've got a couple of my nieces are moving into the house in Belfast with Joshua because they're starting uni as well. So we've got a bit of work to do in that house and get that tidied up for them coming. The weather is going to be pretty crappy here. It is crappy now. It's like thunder and terrible rain and lots of water. So it won't be like that last week. I took off a month or so ago there on the beach every day. So yeah, I'd hope to get in some paddle boarding this week because my ribs are almost they're good enough.
Almost ready.
Almost ready. So
almost ready to get cracked again. I would kill for rain right about now. So where I live, it is ungodly hot still. It has not rained in months. We have crazy fires happening. In fact, yesterday, the smoke was again kind of getting thick to where it looked like it was a morning fog all day long. Mm. So, yeah, Northern California is just burning to a crisp right now. Yeah,
I was kind of thinking about you actually there this week when they were talking about the, you know, a lot of the big lakes up there and that are really low. I mean, that time we flew in the helicopter up to the Grand Canyon a couple of years ago, and that big lake that we fly over at the Hoover Dam. What's that? Is that Mead or?
Well, I just consider it the Hoover Dam. I don't know what lake it is.
Okay, yeah. Well, that high low, it was like 30 feet lower than it normally would be. And then I watched something about some big massive iceberg breaking off and water levels going up. I'm thinking to myself, well, somebody has to get an iceberg into some of these big American lakes.
Just saying, sure. just pick it up and drop it.
Yeah, but that's yeah, Nick Mead. Thanks, Boomer. That would be that's the problem solved. It's like the no rising sea levels and water for California.
I like it. Right. Let's make it happen, Robin. Instead of the T-shirt business, we'll do the iceberg moving business.
I think so. I think it'd be a good idea. Good.
There might be some money in that.
Yeah, well, just busy. Right. I'm looking forward to just a couple of days of just chilling out a wee bit. Today, fucking kids drove me fucking mad. Jasmine has me, she's going through this stage again of her not breathing terribly well just at the moment again. And she slept okay last night, but it was one of those nights last night where I was listening to her breathing and then falling asleep, and Judith was listening to her breathing, and I'm going, oh, Robin, wake up. And then that was either, you're snoring. Or then Jasmine jumping
in. I got a lot of that this past week. Yeah.
Jasmine jumping in at 3:30, 4 in the morning. And then I got up at about 6:30 this morning. I just can't stick this anymore. I'm downstairs with Jazz. And then that made her grumpy through the day. And it was a wet day, so the kids couldn't really go outside. It was one of those ones. So I'm glad to be out here tonight. Thank you, podcast people. This is my relief.
Boomer, yes. Thank you for reminding us. Most lakes are freshwater lakes, but you know what? We can always turn them into saltwater lakes. Why not? Why not? It ruins the ecosystem.
I know, Boomer, but
I just need water.
But the big icebergs
they would be freshwater.
They're freshwater. They're
not saltwater.
They get into the sea.
Yeah, that's true.
So all we need is a couple of wheelbarrows.
Just a couple.
Sure.
A couple of wheelbarrows. Yep. There we go. So that's it. Nice to be here. The Wave XLR is getting good. The only other thing is the Wavelink software. Like, you know, I was switched on or off there. There's a few little things that I'm not 100% with yet, but I think it's cool. The quality of last week's show, I mean, the female presenter was just made it. It was fantastic. But I think the quality of the show and
audio. Did you have two women on last week?
Hmm?
There's two women on last week, right?
I identify.
I know you identify as a lesbian. I know. I'm just acknowledging. I'm acknowledging your acknowledgement, Robin.
I'm just back from the Olympics. I was representing New Zealand in weightlifting. So, okay, moving
on. By the way, yeah, she lost or he lost, however you want to look at it. That was the best part.
I know. But she did enough just by being. So, you know, so it didn't. If she had a one, it would have caused all sorts of ructions and problems. So, just being there, except anyway. No one.
Moving on.
Actually, she looked
Kim.
She looked very like Mark.
Kim, yeah. You managed not to kill anyone. Let's talk about this. Were frustration levels high this past week? Is that what I'm sensing?
Oh, something like that. You know, typical family, you know, poor shit. You know, we can go for like, you know, 6 months and not have a problem. And then all of a sudden, boom, everything hits at once. And let's just say I'm kind of ready to throttle my youngest brother, but there's not much I can do about it. So, you know.
There are laws against this.
Right. Well, like I said on Twitter, I can't, you know, I can't ship him off to Abu Dhabi or anything like that. So I guess it is what it is. Next week it'll be something else. So.
After some programs I've been watching, unregistered handguns are the way to go, apparently, if you don't want to get traced.
Unregistered handguns, bleach, and just don't use your own vehicle, whatever you do.
Right?
It always seems like whenever I watch Forensic Files, it's always they found the fiber in their vehicle. Just like the random one little fiber they missed. Kim, what? I cannot believe this. This can't be the first time you've ever watched The Hobbit, right?
No, it was just something because there's been no jack shit going on for me today. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I sat and watched The Hobbit today. And of course, you know, everybody pretty much everybody bagged on The Hobbit for what it was because, you know, they added some extra stuff to it. They just drug it out for maybe one more movie longer than they should have and that sort of thing. But, you know, for what it is and all the issues, it's still Lord of the Rings and it still makes me happy to watch it. So it's still better than, you know, half the crap that they put out nowadays, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I didn't hate The Hobbit.
Yeah, I didn't either, but yeah. I mean, there was some little niggly things like everything, but for me, it was enjoyable as all hell. So
speaking of The Hobbit, Kim, I put the kids through The Lord of the Rings today.
Uh-huh.
They hadn't seen it before. So now it was the extended edition, which
nice.
Yeah, it was long. It was long.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, there's bits in it that definitely that, oh, they cut out chunks. But yeah, I think they all watched it, so.
I can't believe how old that movie is now. It still feels like it's like quite recent to me.
Yep. Me too. I still get all giddy about wanting to watch it. And my,
it still looks
my,
great, though.
Family thinks I'm a nerd.
It holds up well.
It does. It holds up
well. The CGI, if you remember that movie where the bit where they're going into the dwarfs' temple where all the dwarves are dead, and there's a sea monster grabs Frodo just as it goes in. That CGI looked a bit CGI. But the majority of it is really, really looks well. I mean, the Hobbit's very, very feet, you know, if they were. So in
Bullrog,
a freshwater lake, so the hairs in their feet would stand up, and the kids would also rub those hairs down as well. It'd be fantastic.
All right, moving on from that. I don't know what else to say from that. So, Mark, let's talk about it. Day from Hell.
Yeah, so yesterday I had the worst day ever in this new job. So on Friday, one of the mechanics rung in sick. And on the Saturday, my manager rung in sick. And this other guy who was off Friday didn't turn up. Couldn't contact him, so it left me with one mechanic and a tyre fitter. The mechanic who was working only works half day Saturdays, so he left at dinner time, and I was left with a workshop full of work, a full day's workload, and no one to do it, because a tyre fitter can only fit tyres, he can't do mechanical work, so I ended up doing all the service work, all the mechanical repairs, as well as seeing the phone every 2 minutes going off, booking customers, seeing the customers. Oh, I nearly walked out yesterday. It was horrendous. Luckily, I'm off today and I'm off all week. I've got a week off and I'm not back well next Sunday. Boy, do I need that week off. So, yeah, relaxation time for me now. But, yeah, yesterday was absolutely horrendous. So, like, when I said I couldn't play Dungeons & Dragons yesterday because I was tired, I was not joking. I was in bed for 9 o'clock. I was absolutely, technically, fucked. So, yeah, yesterday was awful. So, when I do, like, I get a lot of stick for saying I can't be on the show because I'm tired, but...
Oh, we love giving you a show. That is part of your DNA.
I'm not bullshitting when I say I'm tired. I come home, I am aching, I am knackered, I'm stressed. I had something to eat and that was it. I didn't get a dinner break yesterday. I worked 10 hours straight, no break, nothing. It was horrendous. So, needless to say, I am actually looking for another job now because I can't hack these hours. If something crops up, I'll take it. I'm not actively just going to leave, but if something better hours comes up, say more money, I'll be gone.
Mark, I heard
these hours are killing me.
I heard the NHS is looking for somebody.
Move on. So in between all that, I've been watching, like I mentioned before, Sons of Anarchy, and we're now on season 6, so we finished season 5. So we've only got like 2 seasons to go, and it's getting really intricate now. It's getting, I don't know, it's not got the same feel as it did in the first few seasons. It's still good. We're still enjoying it.
Yeah.
And we're still enjoying the anticipation to watch the next episode.
I watched the first episode of that through this week.
You're
because you mentioned it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it's quite good.
Yeah.
It's to be,
the first 3 seasons are really, really,
really
enjoyed.
Strong. Yeah,
but I think it takes a dark turn, doesn't it?
Yeah, and Mark, you're getting into, I think, the time which almost every show gets into when they run multiple seasons long.
Yeah.
Eventually, you have those couple seasons where they're not being terribly imaginative with what they're doing with the storyline, and it just kind of feels like you're just going through the motions a little bit.
Yeah.
But it will pick back up a little bit.
So we're on episode 10 now of season 6, so we're nearly there. And you can see they're setting it up for the final season. You can see all these roads are coming to an end, and things that shit's happening, everything's unraveling. So yeah, it's really good. I do enjoy it, and I don't know what I'm going to do when I finish this one now. I need another one to binge watch. And we're getting quite into this binge watching seasons.
I know it's a busman's holiday, but Carmaster's Rust to Riches is a guilty pleasure of mine. And I've just watched those 8 seasons released there, 8 episodes released. It's the 3rd season. I just love it. I mean, they take the old American cars, pickup trucks, all that sort of, and then turn them into these fantastic creations. And this was very interesting now, because the very last episode is usually a crescendo. They've had this big build. And in this case, they were going to have their own design of car go to an auction, and they were expecting to get $250,000. And Wu Flu came in, and the auctions died. And then they had to go to an online auction. It was interesting because this probably was recorded about a year ago, and they were asking all of the people that were going to the auction, would they go to an online auction? They're going, what is that? What? Right. You wouldn't have that now.
Yeah.
It was so interesting, and I don't know. It ended that they didn't sell the car. Only they got bids up to $200,000, and they needed the $250,000 for it. And they said, look, we'll just hold on to it until auctions come back. And that's it's probably still not now.
Well, I don't know. That'd be something I'd have to watch myself. Jenny won't watch that.
That's good. I love it.
Yeah, I think
bits and pieces of it.
Yeah. We've had a few recommendations for Designated Survivor. A lot of people suggested
that's pretty good. It starts off really strong as well. Another one of those shows where I think the initial concept is super good. And then suddenly you're kind of like, okay, now it's getting a little bit unbelievable. There's a recommendation, Mayans, which is basically it's the spiritual successor to Sons of Anarchy.
Well, the Mayans are in Sons of Anarchy.
Right, exactly.
They're a key part. They're another motorcycle club. So Scott Stubby, for that. I'll look out for that. Is that on Netflix as well?
It should be, I believe.
Cool. So there's quite a lot on Netflix as well.
By the way,
my wishlist is quite full, so.
War of the Worlds. You've been watching that.
I've got 2 episodes to catch up on. So yeah,
I have finished it.
The last one I've watched is Emily tried to do something to the old guy, and it failed. And that's the last bit I saw. So yeah,
sounds like the porn I watch, but never mind.
Well,
and it did feel like a bit of a cop out that the aliens are now humans. I mean, they look human. And it seems like, they're not.
I was texting Greg about that, and I've got theories about that, but I'm probably wrong, but I want to see how that pans out, because I've got theories about that.
I know the tattoo thing now.
Yeah.
I know it all. I will say nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's it for me.
It's good, though. I thoroughly enjoyed season 2. With everything, there's little plot holes, and I'll talk about some plot holes in a moment of some things I've watched. Anything else, Mark?
No, that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Disneyland.
Woo-hoo.
So last week,
you've got a lot to say about this, haven't you? Apparently.
Oh yes, I do.
Let me get the
video. Oh, let me tell you. Actually, I won't go into like every bit of this trip. It was a very up and down trip. And that is surprising, because every time I've ever gone to Disneyland prior to this, it's usually been a really fun experience. But this time around, there were just some real kind of high moments and some low moments. And part of it is the COVID stuff still happening. Part of it is, well, actually, I think a lot of it has to do with COVID. Because of how they handle restaurants now, how they handle reservations, and then just some miscommunication things happening. So it had us doing a lot of running around, if you will. But I will tell you the one big story of my trip to Disneyland. So one of the things they've introduced at Disneyland, and I'm sure they've introduced this in other parks, is this concept of virtual queues. And so this basically is for some of the major rides at Disneyland, in particular for Disneyland and California Adventures in Los Angeles. It's for the Spider-Man Web Slinger ride and for Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. You have to jump on your Disneyland app, and at only two times during the day does this app open up for people to be able to join the queue, at 7 a.m. and 12 p.m. It fills up within a minute.
Now there was variants of that when I was last over, where you could book your rides. You could book
return trips.
Book the time. Right.
Yeah, this is totally different. That you would do in the park. You had your tickets. You would go up to the ride. You get a return time, and you would come back whenever you wanted after that return time. Here, the virtual queue, it's on your app. You refresh it, and at 7 a.m. and at 12 p.m., it opens up and says join queue. And if you don't get into a queue within a minute, you are fucked until the next time it opens back up. You will not get into the ride. They do not allow walk-ups at all. It's the most anti-consumer thing I can think of they introduced.
Thank God I do the VIP thing.
It wouldn't help you. You need to do the virtual queue for these rides. It's silly. So needless to say, I was able to get into, on our very last day, a backup queue after 12 p.m. It basically said you're in a backup queue, which basically means you're not actually guaranteed a spot. But if we have enough people that don't show up through the course of the day for the ride, then you may get in and we'll let you know.
A crumb.
Pretty much. And I more or less, I was at backup queue number 297. I pretty much assumed I'm not getting into Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. Around 8 o'clock, we had gone back to the hotel room to change because we had gone on Splash Mountain. We got super wet. It gets cool in the evenings, so we changed clothes and we said, "Well, look, we'll go on the Cars ride because that's Colin's favorite ride. My son Colin. We'll go on that ride, and then we'll go over to Disneyland from there, and we'll catch the fireworks show at 9 p.m." and pretty much just kind of call it an evening and round out our day that way. And if by chance Star Wars happens, great. If not, oh well. So we get to Cars, and as we're going up the ramp, or the kind of walkway to Cars, and it was probably going to be about a 10-minute wait for that, I get a notification, you're in for Star Wars Resistance. You have till 8:48 p.m., to come to the ride and get into Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Now we're looking at the time. We're thinking, okay, we'll finish the Cars ride, take Colin on that, and then we'll just go over to Disneyland. So we get out of Cars after a couple of mechanical issues. We exit Cars ride at 8:25 p.m. Now, I put a map in our show notes for you guys to see, and I don't know if you can put it up on screen, Mark, but I put two stars on the map to show you. On the right side, that star is where the Cars ride is. The star on the very left-hand side, that's where Star Wars is.
Holy moly.
Completely two separate parks. On separate sides, you know, we made it from Cars to Star Wars by 8:38 p.m. So we get there, and as we're walking up, I'm noticing there's not a lot of people. There's nobody in lines. It feels like everybody's just kind of milling around, and I'm like sweating. I'm dying. You know, we just hoofed it all the way over there, and the guy's like, "Sorry, folks, ride's actually closed right now for mechanical problems, and we don't know if we're going to get it back up before 9 o'clock, and Star Wars closes at 9 p.m." So we're like, okay, you know what? We're pot committed. You know, this is like I pushed the poker chips into the middle table, so we're in for the long haul. Let's just see if they get it fixed. And sure enough, about 10 minutes later, they have it fixed, and they say, you know what? We'll get you guys on. So we go right on in. We start to experience the first part of the ride, and I won't spoil this ride for anybody.
Please don't. Well,
I mean, I know I did a little bit already in our show notes, but I won't go into any details here. But we get into this kind of first little bit of the ride, and then suddenly they're like, everybody, please give us your tickets. Let us scan your tickets again. The ride, unfortunately, is broken down again.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
We have to go all the way back out of the ride. And at this point, more people bleed off. And the guy says to us as we're coming out, because he was taking a little pity on us with having Colin in his wheelchair. And he's like, look, we might get it back up. He's like, I can't promise anything. He said, but, you know, they might let us, you know, run some people through it again if we can get it back up. And within 5 minutes, they actually did. And so we got on the ride after technically Star Wars was closed. And so we rode through the entire ride. And it was a much smaller group of people. So it was almost like a private showing of this ride. And I will just say, hands down, Star Wars Rise of the Resistance is one of the best ride experiences, probably the best ride experience I've ever been on.
Now, I didn't want to get too many spoilers. So is this the one you get into in the Millennium Falcon?
No. This is not the Millennium Falcon. The Millennium Falcon is another ride in Star Wars. That's where you get into the Millennium Falcon. You make the Smuggler's Run.
Okay, yeah.
This is Rise of the Resistance.
I looked quickly because I didn't want to spoil it. Yeah. I seen some of the photographs of the storm.
The gist of it is you're joining the Resistance.
Okay.
And I will leave it at that. But this ride uses probably the most technology and integration of the Star Wars universe I've ever experienced. And you feel like you are in it. Oh yeah.
Wow.
More technology than our podcast. Absolutely.
Fairly. They use two wave XLRs, not one.
Yes, they do. They use two wave XLRs and a Steam Deck. It is fantastic. And I literally had a goosebumps moment within the ride. And to anybody that's going to go to either Disneyland or Disneyland Orlando, because I'm pretty sure they have it there as well, it is absolutely worth doing. But just know you have to get the stupid app and you have to go through that virtual queue thing. There's no other way to get on the ride. And Spider-Man Web Slinger, worst ride ever. Absolutely not worth getting in a queue for that. It's basically playing a video game.
In Universal Studios, there's the Men in Black ride. Where you sort of sit in a car and shoot on a rings around the track. Sounds like that.
This is similar to that. You're sitting in a car, but the Spider-Man ride, it uses Kinect technology, ironically, of motion tracking. So it tracks your arm movements, and you are web slinging, and you're shooting little spider bots.
Okay.
Let me just tell you. It's like a video game because you're getting scored, and so you're trying to shoot as many bots as you can. It's a freaking workout. Huh. We were dying by the end of the ride, and it was disappointing. And the comparison to that ride and Star Wars: Rise of the Resistance, it just doesn't even compare.
And did it get stuck in your hair? Did it?
No, I washed that out.
Okay,
it's okay. So Web Slinger. Look, you can go on it if you want, but do not wait in a line for that ride. It is not worth the wait. Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, it's worth the price of admission. It is an experience. Okay. It is fantastic. So, all right. So from there, last night I decided I was in the mood to watch some hero movies.
Ooh.
I fired up the HBO Max app. I watched Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh, dear.
I love the first Wonder Woman film I thought was brilliant.
First one was pretty good.
Yeah, 1984, I was disappointed. I was so looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It was all right, but... Yeah.
No, it wasn't even all right. The entire time I kept thinking, why am I putting myself through this? And I wanted to say I finished it to watch it all the way through the end, but I mean, the end had probably some of the biggest plot hole points.
Yeah.
Out of all of them.
Yeah.
But it's not a good movie.
No.
It's not a good movie at all. Something
like when I was ironing while Judith was out this morning, I did all the ironing, and I watched a League of Their Own, Gina Davis, Tom Hanks, baseball.
Here's what you should watch, Robin.
Superheroes.
Suicide Squad. Yeah. I fired up Suicide Squad. It is
the
fantastic.
New one. Yeah.
Yes. The new Suicide Squad. It is hysterically funny. It's Deadpool funny. was laughing. I was enjoying it. It embraces adult themes, and it is how there's a lot of gore to it, just as an FYI. So not for one for the kids. But oh my gosh, I was so and it was such a good palate cleanser after watching Wonder Woman, fired up Suicide Squad, and I was just laughing and just enjoying that movie thoroughly. They did a great job with that movie, and I can safely say one of the better superhero movies I've seen. Really enjoyed it, even though they're anti-heroes. It's fantastic. Yeah. And the gal that plays Harley Quinn, holy crap, she is the perfect Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
She really is.
Margot Robbie, yeah, she's this.
Yep.
She's very nice as well.
I don't think you could ever top the Suicide Squad that was in The Life of Brian. So I don't want to be disappointed.
I don't think, Robin, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I think you will absolutely enjoy this movie. And so then just to kind of last thing I want to talk about is I pre-ordered Aliens Fireteam Elite.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Colonial Marines.
No. Robin, I also did a thing.
Oh,
we're buying you Aliens Fireteam Elite as well because we want you to play a proper Fireteam game. So we PayPal'd you the money, Robin. You're pot committed. Yes.
Huh. I didn't get it.
It's probably happening as we speak.
Banking?
There was an attempt to actually buy you this.
I was going
to
gift you the game.
Yeah,
but apparently you can't gift pre-orders.
Pre-orders.
All the games were released.
We PayPal'd you the money. So now you're committed, Robin. You get to play a real good Aliens game as opposed to Aliens
Clone. So Aliens. After this podcast.
155 points?
What? So, yeah, you just need to pre-order that now after the show.
So is there like aliens in it?
Yeah,
it's a proper aliens game. Just to sort of compensate for that shocking Colonial Marines stuff.
Alien Isolation is a proper aliens game.
No, that is.
You just didn't give the first one a chance. You just really didn't.
Colonial Marines was horrible. It was trash, Robin. It was absolute trash. Speaking of trash, let's talk about what we've been playing in terms of video games.
Oh, hang on, that's me in it.
Pretty much.
Probably.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Kim, with that jingle jangle, I think we should walk through the games that are coming out. It's still early in the month. Let's talk about it. The games we pay for that are free to us.
Oh, alrighty then. I'm not on that section, so give me a second.
Oh, I see.
I was hacking. All right, your games with gold for this month are Darksiders 3, Yooka-Laylee, Lost Planet 3, and was it Garou Mark of the something or other? So.
Sure.
I can't read the title on the picture here, so yeah. So I mean,
you, some Japanese shit, yeah.
Right. And then for your PS Plus games for the month of August, we have Hunter's Arena Legends, and I think that's. Let me scroll up here to make sure. I think that's just for. Oh no, for that's for the PS5 and PS4. Then we have Plants vs Zombies Battle for Neighborville, which is PS4, and Tennis World Tour 2, also for the PS4. A lot of whatever there.
Sorry, boys, thank you. What a lovely gesture. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You could have just said, Robin, go and buy that, will you?
We wanted to get your live reaction.
You know, Robin, you have been Johnny on the spot in terms of the podcast, hosting, taking care of stuff over this past summer while, you know, we've all taken some time away.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to do something nice.
All right, well, lovely. Thank you.
All right, continue on, Kim.
Twitch Prime Games, we have Chroma Squad Tactical RPG, which is apparently inspired by Saban's Power Rangers. I'm not sure that helps it, but okay, whatever. Yeah. Treachery in Beatdown City, which is apparently not inspired by Power Rangers. Whatever. Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn, Warsaw, and Blazing Chrome. I didn't know Shaq Fu was a legend, but all right. Then we have your Stadia Pro games for the month of August.
What's this?
They say Stadia Pro. Apparently, it's still a thing.
What's this? Okay. Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Carrying on. It came from space and ate our brains. That's the title, folks. I ain't shit you. Epic story, Typing Chronicles, Killer Queen Black, Valkyria Chronicles 4, Grime, and games that will be removed will be Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number. So I guess if you wanted to play that, you're out of luck.
I must really go out and get Stadia Pro.
It shocks me. It shocks me how Stadia Pro is just not taking off.
How is
like
it
a
still alive?
Right. I don't know.
Because Google like killing stuff off, don't they? Like they killed off the plus everything. Well, I'm surprised they haven't even killed this off yet.
Oh yeah, they like to kill off stories as well on the internet. Really, just when you DuckDuckGo, please. Okay.
And Epic Games Store.
The ones on the Epic Games Store are old, so they're already gone. So I'm not sure what's up on Epic Games Store this week.
Okay.
Train Simulator World. Is that an old one? Because I grabbed that the other day.
Yeah, that was there over on the 5th, and this is the 8th, so, yep.
All right. Well, in that case, let's talk about what we have played. Kim, anything you want to talk about? I know you said you tried to play some games. Did you get anything in?
I played some solitaire on my phone. That's pretty much the extent of it this week. I tried, but between watching the kids and doing the crap around here, after everything was said and done, I went zombie for like 2 hours and then went up and got up and went to bed. So didn't really have much time for gaming.
Solitaire is probably one of the most played games in the world. So there you go.
Yeah.
You're part of the in crowd. Robin, let's talk about what you've played.
Well, yeah, not a lot of guesswork required here, but I finished off Mass Effect 2. That was last week and we've done the victory achieved. Yay. And part of me sort of thought, well, maybe I need a break. I haven't had tons of time, but I had a couple of nights, maybe three sessions, and I went straight into Mass Effect 3. And it's very, very interesting going from 1, 2, 3, the way I've done this. So let's talk about weight. So the weight of the character in Mass Effect 1 feels quite heavy. And the gameplay style is as if he's heavier on the ground, lead in the boots. And Mass Effect 2, your character's a little bit lighter and more, you know, freer to run around, and more sort of first-person shootery or third-person shootery. And Mass Effect 3 is lighter again. You can immediately feel...
There's actual reasoning for this, Robin. Over the course of time, he's been dieting the whole time.
Okay. I'm working out.
Yeah.
Yes, working out and dieting.
That's the easiest way I can describe it. The gameplay style just feels lighter. So the stuff that they missed out on in Mass Effect 2 was things like upgrade paths for your powers and upgrading guns. So they seem to have got that right again in Mass Effect 3. Again, not the first time playing it, but they seem to have got that right. But then the things they've got really wrong this time, and I know it was a love-hate thing, was the planet scanning, where you had to buy probes and you scanned a little planet and you got your resources. Now you have to randomly scan, and then you can only scan so many times until the big bad guys come on the little tiny map and chase you off the map.
I remember that. Your little tiny little ship with little reapers coming down and you have to run away. I like the probing in Mass Effect 2. It's quite therapeutic.
Probing. So there's not so much probing in this one?
Okay. Robin misses his probing.
Yeah, I definitely missed probing planets. It was but there was something good about it. There's nothing restful about it. But it just seems unrewarding, random. You still go onto the planet. This is the same view of the planets as Mass Effect 2, but the... you just go into it and it gives you a spiel about what the planet was. And yes, there's hedgehogs live here that talk about Shakespeare and they eat lunch.
Do you ever get any missions that pop up that you have to go to the planet side for?
Yes, but before it felt like a nice little surprise, where now you do this random scan thing and it's a gamble. You gamble if you scan too much, the Reapers see you there and they come after you. So you still get that, but it's not as rewarding. It's still there, but it's not as rewarding. So it's better in one way and worse in the other. Cinematically and visually, it looks spectacular. It did look really good anyway. And Mass Effect 2 on this revamp looks fantastic, but this here, spectacular. I've done the first few missions, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Are you maintaining bastard status?
Yeah, I'm still being bastard.
Okay, good. Yeah, I like the consistency here.
Yeah, so it's I'm gonna continue on. But it's interesting going from one to another so quickly. Again, the annoyances, if you remember, so in Mass Effect 2, actually people get, you know, you got little side missions to do. This right. one here, you're a Karen, and you have to walk past Erie Wigan, past people, listening to what they're at, and all of a sudden it pops up in your journal to go and pick up some artifact somewhere back in the nowhere. So you're just a real...
I love that bat. Description, for the record. That's great.
It's a fucking Karen. It's a nosy bastard. Yeah. So you're a nosy bastard, Erie Wigan people, and you have to go, and that's how it's a bit odd. So, okay. You know, for such a beautiful, beautiful game, that you know, they were trying to make it better. And I think back as well, and you know, this game came out, believe it or not, Mass Effect 3, I know there's Andromeda after it, but Mass Effect 3, in my head, still feels pretty fresh. You know, there was
the controversy with the ending and everything. Yeah.
I mean, oh, God. Without looking it up, if you can just quickly, when did Mass Effect 3 come out?
Well, I tell you how long ago it was. Chris Matthew was still on the podcast because I did a lot of the multiplayer with Chris Matthew. And Chris Matthew he's back on the gaming scene now, but he left the gaming scene for quite a while. So I reckon it's a good 7-8 years ago.
And Mark had hair back then.
Yeah, yeah, probably, yeah.
In March of next year, it will be 10 years.
10 years, that's wow, amazing. That's more than I thought.
Isn't that friggin' terrifying, yeah. isn't it? So you can maybe forgive some of the little quirks there as well. So,
well, when you think about it, it was not last generation, the generation before when it came out. Yeah. So we're on two generations previous.
Yep. So it still feels fresh. It feels current still. You know, yeah. I mean, every game has its whole little odd bits, but you know, the Casey Hudson was there. I mean, you've got that fabulous soundtrack and music by Clint Mansell. You know, and those guys there. So, and it was using Unreal Engine 3 too. So I mean, it's sharp. So this is good. So yeah. Anyway, Mass Effect 3. I'm continuing my Mass Effect journey, and. I just have to say, probably the place to play it is the Xbox Series X, whatever it is. Yeah, because the auto resume thing is just friggin' awesome. The load times are just you take a breath and scratch your balls and you're into your game again. It's just so fast. It is fantastic. So that fair play to them for getting that done. Sorry, Kim, I can provide you balls if you need them. for scratching. By the way, Kim, last week you got rid of some furniture behind you. Now you have a cage. Who do you have caged in there?
It's a little kitten.
Okay.
I'm fostering a kitten for a friend of mine, so.
Fostering's good.
Yeah, it's about a month old. So.
For children when they get out of line.
Yeah, right. Well, Anthony liked being him, so yeah. But he's a weird kid, so. You know.
All right. So Child Services will be visiting Kim shortly.
Probably.
Okay, so the question would be, if you have never played any Mass Effect games before, where should you start? You should start at Mass Effect. Fuck.
Well, I would say start with the Legendary Edition.
Yeah,
Legendary. Go with one. Yeah.
But what a commitment it is to play. You know, we're talking here. I don't know what my times are, but you mean the Legendary Edition, if you've never played it before, is wow. It's up there. There must be 80, 100, 120 hours worth of gameplay in that if you do all the bits and pieces. So
now, I will say this. Mass Effect Andromeda is a good game, but you do not need to play the first three to play it.
No.
You can play it by itself.
Completely.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Andromeda.
Yeah.
Not surprised, but it would have been lovely, and they probably will have it tack it on somewhere. But what is that? Now, probably 4 years ago, too.
Yeah.
So it's. Would I jump straight back into it again? I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, it definitely feels different, if you ask me. But all right, cool.
Sorry,
Mark.
Part of me feels guilty for only playing Mass Effect.
Why?
Why? I don't know. That's exactly it, Kim. I don't give a shit anymore. Sorry.
Right? I mean, if it makes you happy, what the hell?
I know there's new and shiny out there, but I'm having a ball with it. I'm loving the escapism of it. Okay. I love the way you can go in and play a half hour, three quarters of an hour game, a storyline in it, and it's almost like a little self-contained movie arc, and then you're done. And that you can go on and put on 4chan or whatever you do then after that before you go into the house again. But, you know, it's I like that. So I'll get to the other games at a later date.
Well, you know, you're talking to somebody who's been playing Witcher 3 since it came out. Exactly. So I have no room to talk. So
I want to play the shark game. I want to play more of the flight simulator thing. You know, there's lots of stuff I want to play. I want to play that fantastic Aliens game we were talking about.
All be coming. Speaking of movies, Mark, you finished Last of Us 2.
Yeah, finished it. It's done. 28 hours altogether. I thought I got to the end and I hadn't. Yeah. It went on a bit more. But yeah, really, really good. It does such a great job storytelling of making you not love Ellie as much as what you did in the previous game. In fact, in this game, she's a bit of a fucking bitch. And what you think is the enemy in the game at the beginning, you feel for her a bit more. You got empathy and you understand where she's come from.
This is appropriate, Mark.
Yeah. Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just a testament to Naughty Dog.
And she's the one that everybody was like complaining about, right?
Yeah, Abby.
She was one everybody was bitching about because of what she did and yada yada.
So the whole game's fucking brutal. It's just complete savagery right from the start. But like I mentioned last time, just the facial animations, it's just so realistic. It is literally the best looking game I have ever played. It's just amazing. It is up there with one of the best games I've ever played as well. It's different to your likes of Red Dead, so I can say they're all in sort of like similar band for me as the best games. But for like just basic storytelling and animation, that it's just first class. It's just a masterpiece. So yeah, if you've got a PlayStation 4 or 5 and you haven't played this yet, I took a year to play it. I played it on the anniversary of its release.
YouTube!
No, Greg. Right, and Lewis backs me up on this because I was texting Lewis about his game the whole way through because he's played it and I kept saying, oh, fuck, what? This has just happened. He went, oh, yeah. There's more to come sort of thing. Lewis was saying, like, he mentioned you watching it on YouTube, and he says it's just not the same. And
of course, it's not the same. Yeah. I give you guys stick about that. Yeah. It has long cutscenes, and the cool thing about a game like that is you can link all those cutscenes together and literally watch it like a movie.
And the game seamlessly links between cutscene and gameplay, and it's just flawless. You don't even know it's happening at some point because you think, well, you know, why is she going that way? And then you realize it's taken over. But yeah, this is one of them games you can watch beginning to end as a movie, and you will enjoy it, and it's just superb. The voice acting, absolutely second to none. Ashley Johnson, who does Ellie's voice? She's just amazing. The voice actor who does Abby, I don't know who she is. She was brilliant. It's just a fantastic game.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think controversy about Abby was, you know, they make that switch and they have you caring, you know, they position you to be caring about Abby. But a lot of people are saying you hadn't earned that right, if you will, to make us care about Abby. It was like the whole time you didn't care about you hated her. So why are you trying to force me into caring about her?
The other
controversy. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying, first sort of like 10 hours, I think. You play as Ellie at first, and then you switch over to Abby, and I'm thinking, why am I playing as Abby? And why am I having to level up again, like my crafting abilities and abilities like that? But as you get into it, you understand why. And all I will say, I'm not obviously going to spoil it, but the ending is think about your actions because they do have consequences. That's what this game is all about. Actions and consequences.
Well, and then the other controversial thing about Abby is she's a very muscular woman.
Yeah.
There's a sex
she's
scene
tough,
that happens.
Yeah.
And the real question is, is she really a woman or not? Is she just a very muscular woman? That still remains.
Well, the bit I saw, she's got boobage, so yeah, I'd say she's a woman. But you never know. No, you never see the undercarriage, so I don't know.
I think you need to relook at that boobage, though, Mark. I think the controversy was it was a very, very, very flat chest, not just a flat chest
for
a woman.
She's just a well-built woman, isn't she? She works out. No, she's a woman. She's
I'm
a
just
woman.
Having fun with Mark at this point.
No.
She's no Laura Hubbard, put it that way.
Yeah, no. But yeah, so good game.
Yeah, excellent game, yeah. Yeah. I've started a recent game as well, a new game, new release.
Oh, yes.
It's an Xbox exclusive, and it is on Game Pass Day 1, and it is called The Ascent.
Yes, let's talk about The Ascent.
So The Ascent is so this is a like a cyberpunky futuristic third-person isometric viewpoint game. You play this dude or dudette, you can choose which you want. I don't really know the story because I've been skipping the cutscenes because it's all this and subtitles, so I've been skipping them.
Well, you're living
I'm just enjoying shooting
world.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're living in this corporate world. You are an indentured servant coming to this planet that's ruled by this corporation. And upon arrival to the planet, the corporation that owns everything basically goes bankrupt. And so then all of these rival corporations come to fill the void. And so you are hired out. You're kind of a bounty hunter-like character.
Yeah.
One of the big misconceptions of this game, I think it's disingenuous to call it a twin-stick shooter, even though it is technically a twin-stick shooter.
Yeah.
I think people that come into it thinking they can play it like a twin-stick shooter, like a Diablo kind of game, are going to be disappointed because you will die very quickly trying to approach it that way.
Yeah.
This game actually has a cover mechanic that you need to utilize. There is cover that you will hide behind, you will shoot over. And that is one of the ways in which you will be able to survive. And it also has a bunch of RPG elements to it where you're leveling up different systems that, and you're getting different equipment that will help make your life easier. I absolutely love this game.
Yep. I'm really
enjoying it. It does at times ramp up difficulty wise and it spikes.
The boss fights are really tough. Yeah. They've just done a patch the other day actually where they've added, difficulty options so you can knock the difficulty down, but yeah, some of the boss fights are normal. And the first sort of like major boss you come across is a mechanical spider thing, and I had to quit that mission and then go do some side missions to level up. I had to level up twice, and then I revisited it and then I managed to beat it. So there is that RPG element as well. So yeah, if you're not tough enough yet, go do something else, level up and come back. There's a lot of depth to the game for leveling up. You can level up your guns individually by using these components you find in the world. And you go to a gunsmith and you level up the guns individually. You can level up your person with skill points, so you can increase your health stats, your critical hit, and there's a stack of things you can level up. And you can also pick up armor, different types of armor, and depending on what scenario you're going into, like the spider fight, the spider shoots a lot of fire at you, so you're best choosing armor what has the best fire protection. So I had to keep switching my armor out, which in games I don't normally do as well. I like to stick to one armor set.
That also applies to weapons, by the way.
Yes, so it does.
The giant
energy
mech,
weapons and
energy weapons against the mech worked very effectively. And there's achievements, by the way, for killing that giant robot using an energy weapon. Just as an FYI. Also worth noting, this game really is, I think, meant for next gen. So comparing it to the current Xbox Ones versus the Xbox Series consoles, because I think Phil was asking why the Xbox One X version loaded so long. It took 2:47 for that game to load on Xbox One X. It takes about 27 seconds to load on the Series X. So, and the same thing with the S. Series S and X are really where this game will shine, or PC. I think you'll have a much better time of it on those.
There's a bigger difficulty spike in spots.
It can. I think in a lot of ways, it's meant to be co-op. And you can play it in co-op.
Yeah, I've not managed to play it in co-op yet. I'd like to try it in co-op.
My understanding, though, is in co-op, it does not level characters. So if you're, say, like I'm a level 5 and I go into your level 15 18. Game.
I'm level 18 now.
I'll get my ass handed to me.
Well, I don't know if the enemies level to your level, because if you go back to the main hub where you get your missions, the sort of like surrounding areas, all the enemies for me are still level 4 and I can one-shot them now. Whereas when you first start the game, you're having to battle your way through, but now I can just one-shot all the way through and then get to the part where the enemies are level 20 and I'm back to square one where I'm getting my ass handed to me.
Right. But the thinking there is, even though they don't level with you.
But yeah, if you want to help me do one of my missions, I'm fighting a level 22 boss, and you've got no chance at level 5.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah.
And unfortunately, when you die in co-op, it resets everybody.
Oh, does it? Right.
You have to restart the whole. Yeah. So there's a revive mechanic, but if you die, then it's game over for everybody.
Right.
So.
But graphically, it looks really sweet. It's gorgeous. Yeah, you wouldn't think with the view you've got it'd be that detailed, but because your character's only small, really, in comparison to like normal third-person games with the isometric view. But it is a gorgeous game. The atmospheric lighting on the Series X with the ray tracing—it's just absolutely stunning. The sound effects. Oh, if you've got this with I've got the Xbox official. Wireless headset, and this with Dolby Atmos sound, it's just incredible. The explosions are just so meaty. It's in fact, the other day I was playing it with the amplifier on with the speakers, and I didn't realize how loud it was. And I got a text off Jenny saying, "Is that you booming and banging away?" Yeah, it was just shaking the house. It was just that thumping was the soundtrack and the explosions. But yeah, there's quite a variety of enemies. Like Greg was saying, there's human enemies, there's robotic enemies, mechanoid ones, so you have to switch up your weapon style. Some of the enemies are like Asian Oriental style with samurai swords and that, and some have even got cloaking abilities, which I found out recently, which are tough.
And just a lot really of voice good. Acting.
Yeah.
Surprising amount of voice acting in the game as well, which is nice.
Yeah, which I've skipped most
All
of.
The cutscenes are voice acted.
Yeah.
Because it's a small team that made this game. I want to say it's like 12 people. I think they had help from outside studios.
Yeah.
But the core team, Neon Giant, it's like 12 people.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic first outing for them.
It's quite a big world as well.
It's huge.
There is two sort of like fast travel methods. There's like a subway station. So you go to the metro stations. You can fast travel free. Or after you've been in the game for a few hours, you unlock a taxi. So you press left on the D-pad.
How do you get the taxi?
Left on the D-pad and you select your destination.
Okay.
But it costs you 1,000 U-creds, universal credits in this game. U-creds.
I've been wondering about that. I keep coming across taxis and like, motherfuckers, why would you let me get in the taxi? I thought I unlocked this.
You have to select it with left on the D-pad and it's 1,000 credits every time. So in the early part of the game, money's quite tight because it doesn't give you a lot. But once you've been in the game a while, I think I've got about 150,000 now, and I don't really spend it on anything apart from the health vending machines and the taxis. Because weapons, you pick plenty of weapons and armor up, so if you've got more than one item in your inventory, you get some numbers on the tabs, and you just go to the weapon vendors and you just sell them all. You just sell them for a lot of money.
Yep.
You later on in the game, you get bounties, so you get named enemies. So if a character's got an NPC's got a name above them and you kill them, you pick up their like bounty marker, and you usually drop a component as well to level your gums up. So it's worth getting these guys. And you take it to one of the bounty agents and you get 1,000 credits for each bounty you get. So there's a lot of depth to it.
It's surprisingly a lot of depth to it.
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, it is just a visual extravaganza, and it plays well. It plays very smooth.
There's another level aspect called your ice level. I don't even know what it sounds like. It's like your ability to hack.
Hacking.
Yeah, so I didn't realize this at first. I was trying to open some chests and it says ice level not reached or something. And some are ice 1 and some are ice 2. I'm now level ice 1, so I can open some doors and chests. But that was so frustrating. And it's not clear how to increase your ice level. I think it's part of the story, and you unlock cyberdeck upgrades. So, yeah, I've managed to get level one now. But, yeah, I still keep coming across chests with Arise 2, and I think, I want that loot.
And I believe, because I love loot games. I believe with robotic enemies, you'll be able to use your ice abilities to actually impact them.
To actually hack them or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, sense, so the yeah. Ascent, it's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a huge variety of weapons. I've just recently acquired a minigun, which is absolutely awesome. It decimates enemies. It's got 200 rounds, and it takes a while to spin up, but once it's spinning up, it just eats through enemies. So, yes, fantastic. So I'm trying to level that up now. I'm trying to find components to level that up, because I've got the... is it the dreaded one or dreadnought one, which is 100? Yeah, the 100 shot, 100 magazine assault rifle. I've got that at level Mark V now. That's pretty much like
that's the go to.
Yeah, the go to.
That's my
go to
as well. Yeah.
And then I have the it's Enforcer for the energy weapons, which is like an assault rifle but energy weapons. That's for the robot.
Really
enjoying it. Yeah, well worth a shot if you've got Game Pass. No to lose.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I would have bought this had it not been on Game Pass. So,
yeah, I probably would have as well. Yeah,
it's a good game.
Game Pass, it's just incredible. Game Pass has just saved me and Greg so much money over the past like 18 months, because we used to buy so many games. We used to buy two or three games a month, didn't we? I can't remember the last time.
I mean, the subscription obviously is going to be there, so. It's what, $120 a year, I think, something like that. But if you think about that, it's two full games. You're committed to that, and you're getting a lot of ability to explore. And I think that's what I love about Game Pass is the exploration side of it. And that leads me perfectly into the next game that I'm going to talk about, which is The Last Stop. So I finished that actually right before I went to Disneyland.
Right.
This is an Anna Caperna game. I enjoyed this game. It takes some weird twists towards the end that sort of work. I think they could have been better with the ending, but the lead up to it was really enjoyable for me. And the basic premise of this game is you play as three different characters, and they have very different lives, different timelines. There's some kind of intersecting. If you're careful, you'll catch some different characters that kind of cross over between the stories. But it kind of deals with this alien supernatural situation that's happened. And these three different characters are living these lives that are somehow or another impacted by this alien event. I don't want to give anything away for those that might play it, because it is new. But so you play these three different lives, and they deal with very different, very personable situations in life. A woman who is having marital problems, a single dad, and then I'm trying to remember what the other one was. But I mean, so the other one you're playing is a teenage girl who's got a troubled home life. And so they're very different experiences, and it's all dialogue driven kind of choices. And you know, you do control your character, but there's no action per se. It's all about making choices that will impact your life and the lives of those around you. And I just really enjoyed it. It was not a long game. I'm saying it's probably 8 hours ish to get through it all. I just really enjoyed the stories that were told. Like I said, the ending, I probably would have opted for something a little different personally, but the journey of getting there was well worth it. So I would recommend it to check out. It is on Game Pass. So, you know, if you have Game Pass, you've got nothing to lose. If you like these kind of, you know, games where, you know, it is about dialogue choice and making decisions, I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. You mentioned last time it was, like comparable to like Oxenfree. And I really enjoyed Oxenfree, so
very much so in the dialogue choices,
control
right?
And the dialogue, yeah,
but it is a third person, you know, viewpoint as opposed to side scrolling, kind of which Oxenfree was more like. But yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I would definitely give it a thumbs up to try. So,
Go.
I think that does it for the games we have played. So let's dive into some news, unless we have a quiz. I don't think we do. So let's just dive into news.
Here is the fucking news.
So not a whole lot of news this week, but some interesting stories. Probably the headline interesting story of the day is PUBG is now known as PUBG Battlegrounds.
What?
So,
but in PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. So it's PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Battlegrounds.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Well, so they made this name change, and I guess the reason why, according to Crafton, said Crafton is actively expanding the PUBG brand through a variety of new experiences set in the universe. The publisher told PC Gamer, rebranding PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds to PUBG Battlegrounds is the first step in us realizing this vision. So additional titles in the franchise will carry the PUBG name, as you will see with PUBG New State. So I think they wanted to be able to have PUBG and then a name of a version of the game. So
I think that's because, yeah,
Battlegrounds.
The name PUBG, the players gave it that name because it was PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
It was never called PUBG originally. People just called it that, even on Twitch and that. And I think it stuck, and that's what people associate with it. So.
Yeah. And I think they want that name association.
Yeah. So who are Crafton then? What happened to Blue Hole?
I don't know.
Well, didn't Blue Hole, weren't they the developers?
I thought so as well, but Crafton apparently Crafton bought up Blue Hole. I don't know.
Cheese.
Kraft Cheese has taken over everything.
I actually played it the other day. New map, what came out? Tycho. So I just had a quick go, and it runs really well on the X. It's first time I played it on the Series X.
I've been dying to play this.
I want to get back into it, I didn't last long. I didn't even come across a single person when I got sniped, but I found a bit of loot, and it was just gorgeous to play the new map. So, yeah, we need to get back into this.
Next news story. Another indie Xbox game show is happening, as they're going to have another Twitch showcase on August 10th.
All right.
This is going to be at 12 p.m. Eastern time. So whatever that is in your time zone, I think that's going to be, 8 p.m. your time?
Are they doing this? Because Gamescom's on 26th of August.
Well, so Gamescom, I don't believe they're going to have a big presence at Gamescom.
Well, if you watch the Xbox videos on Xbox on YouTube, they are.
Okay, well, maybe I'm wrong then.
That's what they're saying.
They haven't announced an official press conference, let's just say, for Gamescom.
All right, okay. But there's going to be a lot of announcements.
This is going to be an indie showcase. Yeah. I just hope they do better than they did with the last one. The last one was 3 hours long or 5 hours long. It was ungodly long. And it was a lot of Twitch streamers being hosts. And to be honest, I do not want Twitch streamers as my hosts for these kinds of showcases. They're all about their likes and followers and hit my like. Anyway, drove me nuts. So I really hope that's not the case. I hope this is a little bit more focused than the last one. But something to look forward to at least. And then we get into the nitty gritty stuff. Nintendo had their quarterly earnings call. And so they showed 89 million Switches have shipped. But they did say there was an overall sales slowdown. So basically, Nintendo sold 4.45 million Switches and 45 million pieces of software. April's new Pokemon Snap apparently sold 2.07 million units. There's all kinds of stuff in here. Mario Golf Super Rush, despite middling reviews, managed to move 1.3 million units. Look, they've sold a lot of games. They've sold a lot of Switches. And so that's not shocking. I think the other big piece of news from this was this did mark a significant slowdown for Nintendo's overall sales, with hardware taking a 21.7% hit from this time last year, and software was down by about 10%. This very well could be a COVID thing, and we're going to see something similar when we talk about Sony. COVID, now things are opening back up. People might just not be gaming as much as they were over the last year of shutdown. So that is at least some of the thinking around some of these new numbers that are coming in less than what they were from the previous year. Sony, they also had an earning call update. So they had basically indicated back in April they had sold 7.8 million consoles, and now with this last week they hit 10 million. They also said that they have been assured they have enough components to hit their 14.8 million PS5 sold for the fiscal year. And so that is their plan. So quite a bit of PS5s still moving. Sony's standard PS5 has become profitable, but the digital edition is still being sold at a loss. And then lastly, the number of PlayStation Plus subscribers actually decreased from 46.3 million. It had previously been 47.6 million in the last quarter. So monthly users have fallen. And according to Serkan Toto, who is the CEO of Catan Games, that's due to COVID-19 pandemic and delaying the releases of many games capable of increasing hardware sales and network subscriptions. So I think everybody's kind of thinking COVID delays and also people getting out of the house finally is impacting sales to a certain degree. So and then finally, the most important news that we can deliver. Robin buys an Aliens game. Robin wins a full scholarship funding a brand new Aliens game. Obviously much better than Colonial Marines, but as an expert, it will be very interesting to find his viewpoint as he is an Aliens expert. Yes. Sponsors have asked to remain unnamed, but thought to be transatlantic conglomerate. Indeed. That is the highlight news story of the week. So there we go. That is our news. Kim, we do have some new releases though.
Yeah, we do. We have a few.
Let's talk about that. Right. There's quite a few.
We can do that, yes. Your new releases for August 10th? Wait a minute, hold on. Yeah, August 8th through August 14th are. I saw 10 and just like, poof. Anyway, Black Book for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on August 10th. Button City for the PlayStation 5. I don't know why I wanted to say PlayStation 5th, but whatever. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, Switch, and PC on August 10th as well. Godfall for the PlayStation 4 out on August 10th. Oh, here's the big one. Lawn Mowing Simulator for the Xbox Series X and S and PC on August 10th as well.
I know people actually like this game.
For some, I guess it's relaxing, I suppose. I mean, I like mowing my yard, so maybe? I don't know.
Who doesn't like to mow a lawn once in a while?
Right. Right.
Get in there, son.
Glitch Punk for the PC on August 11th. Icarus for the PC on August 11th as well. Seed of Life for the PC August 11th. I'm not sure why that's so big, but all right. Art of Robin's been here, I can tell. Art of Rally for the Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One and Switch on August 12th. Oh, it was Tank Top. All right, yeah.
I think we all have the same idea there.
Fellas! The shit I have to do, I swear to God.
Yes.
Foreclosed, I think is what that one is called. For the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, Stadia, and PC on August 12th. Dear God. You probably should see a doctor for that, by the way. Naraka, Blade Point for the PC out on August 12th. Oh boy. Hades for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One also available on Game Pass on August 13th. And Paw Patrol, not Porn Patrol, the movie Adventure City Calls for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch on August 13th.
Still doggy style.
That is true. And those are your new releases. Dear Lord, see what I have to put up with? I swear to God.
I know. You do great, Kim. Thank you for that. Thank you for putting up with us. We always try to throw you some wrinkles. There were quite a few wrinkles, foreskin.
Yeah, but I was going to say, for that foreskin, what was it, simulator or whatever the hell it was supposed to be? Anyway.
You were gossamer smooth through it, Kim, and don't worry about it.
All right, speaking of smooth, Robin, Let's talk about victories achieved.
God damn, victory achieved. That's when you finish games and we pay you money. Only the problem with that is when you can't buy money. So, Lord, I am really sorry. I have been trying to buy you a Steam voucher for the UK online, and it's proved to be difficult. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to I'll send you a little text after this. Good idea. I have a spare money that's been sent to me transatlantic, and I'm going to send you I'm going to PayPal it to you and you can buy your game whatever you want, mate. So anyway, victory achieved is when you actually finish a game, you take a selfie with yourself and the credits in the background, you tweet that off to @OC_podcast, or you can email the show at podcast@.com. And yes, and remember to put the record player on, and you can do it on our WhatsApp groups or on Facebook or any way you want it. Just get it to us. And people that finished games over the last week, Martin Chesworth, he finished Last Stop. Not really sure what to make of it. Interesting game, but a bloody weird ending.
Agreed. Agreed.
And that's a very puzzled look on his face there. That's,
is that what that is? I thought he was constipated.
Yeah. I mean, the ending really does take a turn for the like, huh, didn't see that coming. But yeah.
Constipated glass eye look on his Twitter. I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure. Constipated or puzzled. Hey, do you know what? That man's been to acting classes. I can tell he's acting in that photograph. Very, very good. Joystick J, James, he finished Mass Effect 3, the Legend Edition. A masterpiece of the highest order. He's been so invested in this trilogy for 120 years that he shed a tear during the epilogue. Superb. He gives it 5 stars. Well, there you go. I hope I'd give it 5 stars as well. I think it's fabulous. And to give criticism to Mass Effect is like criticizing me.
Ah, but wait, hold on. Well, do you prefer the original season ending, or do you like the new crunchy season ending?
I prefer the original me that fitted in the size 30 trousers. Anyway, congratulations, guys, and you're now entered into the draw. The draw finishes now at the end of September, and you'll win money. So congratulations, but in the meantime, you'll get a bit of this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Armored Wang Ball.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It wasn't me that time.
All right. I guess we're at that time. It's the end of the show where I know we blasted through. This has been fun. Kim, did we get the new calendar update? Did you do that last weekend?
Yeah, I did that last week.
Okay. Yes, all right. Yes. Just double checking.
I did that last week.
Want to make sure we give the men on the wall the dues that they need. all right.
Hey, hold on a second.
Hold on a second.
What is this talk about you, Kim, and you just Scott Stubby put it in the chat there? Farming Simulator. What were we talking about you going up and down in a field for this week in the chat?
It wasn't me, it was Anthony. Anthony plays Farming Simulator.
Yeah, blame the kid.
I live on a farm. I like Farming Simulator. My whole life. Why would I want to play that on a video game?
You like going up and down in a field. That's just the height of it.
Nope.
No. Up and down, up and down.
Maybe you can practice trimming your lawn.
Like bouncing around in a tractor.
All of you.
All right. Come on. Let's move on. Let's wrap this show up. Hey, if you have got this far, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Tune in next week. We will be here again. We really want you to come back. You can find us on Twitch. You can find us on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're pretty much everywhere you don't probably want us to be, but we're there anyway. And now we're going to haunt your dreams a little bit. So congratulations. Let's do some shout outs. Kim, start us off. If you wouldn't mind, give the chat some love.
I will do that mainly because they don't pick on me nearly as much as you all do. But anyway, let's see. Lord is in there. Of course, Boomer is in there. Scott Stebby. And according to the list over here, we have Big Smooth 8. So, and those are Aiton, Academy Impossible, you know, and Riyadh MSDB88. Thanks for dropping in the chat and keeping us occupied. And, applause all around. So, I hope we'll see you next weekend. So anyway, everybody have a good week. You know, you guys, you know how I feel about you guys. So, you know, Jesus. Whatever. That's why I keep showing up. I'm a glutton for punishment, apparently. So yeah, everybody have a good week, and we'll see you next weekend. So on to you there, Robin.
Absolutely. I want to shout out, I don't know, all the fans that came to cheer me on at the Olympics in the sword fencing. I got done very, very, very well there. So thank you very much. It wasn't really much televised. So, but I'm just back now. I love the closing ceremonies there with all the augmented reality stuff. And yeah, it was really good. And I'm glad to help the UK get to fourth place in the medals table. So that was fantastic. I want to shout out Mark. Lovely to see him back on the podcast. It seems like it's been weeks and weeks since you've been on. So, weeks and weeks. And weeks, Mark, yes.
Months, years, you know.
Absolutely. Those 2 weeks feel like months. We miss you so much. And to the guys in the chat, I love the chat. It's always good fun. The chat is, you know, if you do get a chance to listen to the show live, the chat adds an extra dimension for us because you just feed us some lines and bits and pieces, and it's lovely to get that wee little bit of live feedback there as well. It's nice. Mm-hmm. I'm jealous of you, Greg, and Disney, and all of that stuff, even though it was a challenging trip. And to Pete and Shell, congratulations. You should be walking funny now. that first week of marriage, there's a 1 week on now. I sent you a handy little TikTok earlier in this week, which happens after 15 years of marriage. You can look that up and see what happens to your sex life after 15 years. It's just the same as your wedding night. It's just the same. Everybody have a wonderful week. Have a great time. Be safe, be good, and get out there and have a life. So that's all I have to say about that. Who wants to go next? I've lost count.
Like it'll be me. Mark! So I just want to shout out all the listeners, everyone in the chat. Like Robin says, it's great to interact live on the show. To you guys, my fellow co-hosts, you are my podcast family. I love you all. even Phil for all the stick he gives me. I couldn't make the D&D yesterday. It was just a bad day.
Your character suffered greatly.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Probably for the best. Blame to rest. And I just want to shout out to all those who've got a PS5, you lucky bastards. I still can't get one. I'll let you take us home, Greg.
Watch it on YouTube.
I've watched some unboxings, yeah.
Taught you anything. All right. So first and foremost, a shout out to the three of you. Thank you for joining me today on the podcast. It's been fantastic. A shout out to Pete and Shell. Pete, absolutely batting way above your head.
I loved seeing all the wedding photos on Facebook.
Yes.
It
didn't take too long.
Shell, what were you thinking? You've been down this road before. Why? I'm just saying. No, we love you guys. Congratulations, absolutely, once again. Shout out to the Olympics. America, fuck yeah! Oh, mate. the leader of
that. Yeah.
I think that's going to do it. Shout out to Phil. Phil on the OC podcast, the OC D&D podcast. Sure, he can't make this podcast, but he's putting on a very fine D&D podcast, which I thoroughly enjoyed hanging out yesterday and having a little fun with that. So
all I have to say is beef jerky and twigs, dear Lord.
Beef jerky and twigs
I didn't listen. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I just want to remember him as he was.
All right. That's it. We're done. We're out of here. Thanks, everybody. Come back next week. We'll see you then. Take us out, Mark.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.